Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to Good for a Weekend,
the podcast where two friends talk about Taylor Swift.
I'm MK Ashford.
And I'm Cressy Cornis.
And today we are updating one of our most popular episodes of all time.
The Carly Kloss episode was one of our very first ones, and it's among our most downloaded of all time. So that's why 4 years later, we decided it was time to give it an update. We also didn't get into the Kaler or the Jared Kushner of it all in our original episode. So this has been long overdue.
Yeah, a lot has happened since that 2020 episode, including a whole pandemic, a new president, 7 new albums. Oh my God.
Seven.
Well, 8 once the Tortured Poets comes out. But regardless, it is time.
It's time. Okay, I've got a glass of wine. I've got a jar of Tums next to me. I say we just get into it. MK, who is Carly Kloss?
I'm scared, but here we go. Carly Kloss was born on August 3rd, 1992 in Chicago, making this Leo 31 today. She rose to fame as a model in the mid-2010s, specifically for being a Victoria's Secret angel. She also walked the runway for other brands like Christian Dior, Louis Vuitton, Zac Posen, Gucci, Givenchy, Calvin Klein, and Versace. Carly has also been a spokesperson for Chanel, Nike, Adidas, Swarovski, Express, L'Oreal, and Estee Lauder. She started her modeling career at the age of 14, and by the time she was 15, she had signed with Elite Model Management. When she was 17 years old, Vogue Paris named her as one of the top 30 models of the 2000s. Fun fact, she stands 6'2". That's
actually kind of crazy that she was 17 years old and she was like among the top 30 models.
Not only that, but like being scouted at 14 or trying to start modeling at 14 and being signed at 15 is wild.
Yeah, I feel like we forget that Carly was very, very, very successful before the Taylor of it all.
Oh, for sure. In addition to her modeling career, she also has Code with Klossy, a coding camp that encourages girls aged 13 to 18 to pursue careers in technology. Most recently, in November 2023, she acquired the British fashion magazine ID from Vice Media and became the CEO. I honestly had forgotten that she knew how to code and that she was like a computer science girly, because I remember thinking that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Currently, Carly is married to Joshua Kushner, who is the brother of Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of Donald Trump. She converted to Judaism for him and they have 2 children.
So let's pause there. Let's break this down and explain the Kushner-Trump of this whole situation. And I'm sorry if you just heard me bang the straw. I'm talking with my hands on an audio format, so that's just going to happen.
We're going to get passionate.
So who is Josh? Josh Kushner comes from old money, and he's a very popular and successful investor. He founded Thrive Capital. He was an early investor of Instagram. He co-founded Oscar Health. And when he was 27, he was on Forbes 30 Under 30 list. And Josh's older brother, Jared, is currently married to Ivana Trump, Donald Trump's daughter. And in case you're thinking, you can't choose your family, love is love, marry whoever you want to. As a reminder, Jared did not just marry into the Trump family. He also quite literally served in the Trump administration. Like, he was on the payroll and everything. He was Trump's senior advisor during his term. So regardless of your personal politics, I think we can all agree that it would not be ideal for Carly and Josh to be related to these people who were a part of this insanely controversial administration, to say the least. Like, it literally led to an attempted coup, lest we forget. Like, that was a thing that happened. And their relationship to the Trump family is strained, obviously. There was one season of Project Runway where Carly was the host, and I kind of just want to play this clip. Is that okay, MK?
Yeah, let's do it.
Tyler,
I cannot see Carly wearing it anywhere, honestly.
Not even to dinner with the Kushners?
No.
That's your husband.
I was going to Paris. That was your challenge here.
I know.
Keep it to the challenge.
I could see you wearing it at some point.
You may not know, but I know. I know that this is not what I asked for. The fabrics are poor choice.
That, yikes. I have so much secondhand cringe from that.
So, like, the issue here is that if I remember correctly, the dress was just, like, matronly and, like, kind of conservative. And that's why he was like, you could wear it with the Kushners. And yeah. She was, like, pissed, which is interesting that she knows that that's a controversial thing to say. I mean, she knows, but, like, the fact that she would react to it as if that's a controversial statement. Like, don't you see the issue here, sister?
Yeah, you think she would have prepared herself for that. Like, you're hosting a reality show. People know that you're related to this family. You might want to, like, practice your poker face when that's getting brought up, because people are going to bring it up, right?
And then he backpedaled and was like, what? It's your family.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that your family, right?
That was insane.
So after the aforementioned coup that happened on January 6th, Carly tweeted, accepting the results of a legitimate democratic election is patriotic. Refusing to do so and inciting violence is anti-American. To which someone replied saying, tell your sister-in-law and brother-in-law. And Carly replied, I've tried. And it's not just the Trumps that they seem to struggle with. Carly and Josh's relations with the rest of the Kushner family is also very strained. According to the book Kushner Inc., which talks about the Kushner family legacy, they're a very, very popular, wealthy family. Many of the Kushner family openly disliked Carly. They called her a lingerie model in a derogatory way. They called her not that smart. They called her a shiksa. And they even refused to meet her for 6 years because they were, like, below the bar of, like, a perfect woman for them. Isn't that crazy? Like, I'm not ride or die for Carly Kloss, but, like, she's very smart and very successful. Like, she has her own money. She's got an education. Like, it's crazy. Like, that wasn't enough, you know?
Yeah. And, like, to be a Victoria's Secret angel and on so many, like, designer stages is,
yeah,
not something to be looked down upon, even though you're, like, in lingerie. Like, that's one of the most coveted modeling jobs, yeah, in the world. Like, that's so insane.
She's
to me.
Traveling the world, like, everywhere, working with these highly esteemed designers.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was really interesting. So it seems like no one really liked their relationship, the Kushners or the Trumps.
Yeah. So how does this play into Taylor Swift? Let's get back to, like, the theme of our podcast. If you've been living under a rock, or perhaps you're brand new to this fandom, you might be wondering why we're talking about this random model and her relation to the Kushners and the Trumps. But Taylor Swift and Carly Kloss used to be inseparable for a couple years. Carly even had her own room in Taylor's house. They shared a Vogue cover together. They did everything together. And then one day it all stopped. But before we speculate why that is, we have to explain the Kaler of it all.
Yo, what's a Kaler, MK?
Haha. What's a Kaler? So Kaler is a term in our fandom that refers to a theory that there was a romantic relationship between Taylor and Carly. People who believe call themselves Kalers. Kalers are often a subsection of a wider group of a fan called Gaylers, who think that Taylor Swift is secretly gay. For the most part, Taylor's never acknowledged these theories, except for a few months ago when her team went to CNN to respond to the New York Times article that was written by a Gayler, which claimed in the 5,000-word essay that Taylor is a closeted queer person. The source told CNN, quote, there seems to be no boundary some journalists won't cross when writing about Taylor, regardless of how invasive, untrue, and inappropriate it is, all under the protective veil of an opinion piece, end quote. They also threw Shawn Mendes under the bus in that article, but this episode is already going to be super long and we can't get into that. So you can listen to episode 94 for all her full thoughts on that matter when this all went down in real time.
Yeah, we both hated the CNN response. We'll just say that.
Yeah, it was weird in a lot of ways, and not because we think Taylor is gay too.
Nope.
It was just
what
a weird
did Shawn
thing.
Mendes do to you? What did Shawn Mendes do to you, Tree Payne? I'll leave it at that. So now that we've explained Gaylerism and Kalerism and the Kushner-Trump family dynamics, let's bring it back to Carly and Taylor, and let's start their timeline from the very beginning by doing our favorite thing on this podcast, setting the scene. Are you ready, MK?
Oh, I'm ready. I love to set the scene. What year is it?
Yeah, it's 2012.
That's a good one.
Picture this. Somebody that I used to know, Gaudier. Call Me Maybe, Carly Rae Jepsen. We Are Young, Fun. Lights, Ellie Goulding. Glad You Came, The Wanted. Stronger, Kelly Clarkson. What Makes You Beautiful, One Direction. The Motto, Drake.
The Motto.
All atop the radio charts. What else is happening? Well, The Avengers, Hunger Games, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, and The Dark Knight Rises are among the top grossing movies that year. And what else happened? I'm so glad you asked. Many Americans were introduced to K-pop for the first time that year with Psy's Gangnam Style. Hurricane Sandy hit the northeast coast of the States. The London Olympics were happening. Obama was reelected for his second term. And some people believed that the end of the world was going to happen due to the Mayan calendar stopping that year. But alas, we are still alive. And most importantly, Taylor graces the cover of Vogue for the first time ever, and she releases Red.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's amazing. We were like early high school. I can just feel it. So this is the Vogue cover where Taylor Swift is wearing a big floppy hat, and looking back on it now, it's a little hard to read. Taylor, who was 22 at the time, was described as this in the very first paragraph. The fact that Swift is supermodel thin, towers over everyone. At 5 feet 10, she clocks in at well over 6 feet in platform Mew Mews?
I thought it was Mew Mew, but I'm not a high fashion girly.
Okay.
I thrift everything. I don't know.
We're going to keep moving in this sentence. And has skin as pale as a gold rush bride's. Gold rush. Well, let's just say she falls somewhere on the continuum from fetching to dazzling.
That was disgusting.
I couldn't even read it, apparently. Like, that's how weird it was. I was just, like, confused about where it was going to keep going.
First paragraph, and yes, to answer what everyone is thinking, a man did write this interview.
Of course.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's 22. Perfect.
Yeah, it's great, right?
Later in the interview, there's a conversation between Alexander Wang and Taylor. Cressy, do you want to be Alexander Wang and I'll be Taylor?
Yeah, let's do some acting. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
This is so gross. I'm sorry you guys are having to listen to this, but you need the context. Okay. You're so tall, shouts Alexander Wang when he first lays eyes on Taylor Swift.
I think I'm still growing, she says. I haven't topped off yet. Why would she say that?
Wang discreetly checks out her look. Is this Rodarte?
Yes, says Swift. It's from their fall collection.
Well, it fits you perfectly. And then, handing out fashion's highest compliment, you're a sample size.
It's really nice when I get on shoots and everything fits. Ew.
That was disgusting. That was so gross.
You're a sample size.
Yeah, that's literally the scene from Miss Americana where she talks about people patting her on the head for being so tiny.
Oh my God, that was cringe to read. Okay. Very tough in 2024, but especially now that she's been open about her comments and like, that's just weird.
Yeah.
But before we get into the Carly Kloss of this interview, we have one more quote we want to share because it is very telling in retrospect. Quote, also, I can't deal with someone who's obsessed with privacy. People kind of care if there are two famous people dating, but no one cares that much. Oof. If you care about privacy to the point where we need to dig a tunnel under this restaurant so that we can leave, I can't do that, end quote.
Joe Alwyn found dead in a ditch again. We need to start doing the Vine boom sound every time he's found in a ditch.
Later in the interview, Taylor spots a modeling photo of Carly Kloss and she says, I love Carly Kloss. I want to bake cookies with her. Carly responds the very same day that the article comes out. Carly tweets, hey, at Taylor Swift, love the Vogue magazine cover. Your kitchen or mine? Smiley face.
Kind of flirty.
It's a little flirty.
I'll say it. I'll say it right now. If I got that tweet, I'd be giggling and kicking my feet.
Yeah, that was flirty.
Anyway, let's jump to the next year, December 2013. If Carly and Taylor ever hung out after this interview, It was done very privately. We have no idea. But Taylor had been on tour, like she had just released Red, so it just might not have been a good time yet. Their first major public appearance together was at the Victoria's Secret fashion show in 2013. Carly was walking the runway while Taylor sang I Knew You Were Trouble. And afterwards, Carly tweeted a picture of them together captioned, "We were both young when I first saw you, ... Favorite Taylor song, XOX, at Taylor Swift." There is also a Polaroid from this day, later discovered, where it says VS Fashion Show 2013, Best Friends Forever. So it's clear they had a lot of fun together at this show. I don't know if this was how they first met, maybe from all the rehearsals or what, but they were very close at the point of December 2013 because of this. And after the show, Carly is quoted saying, quote, "We met at the show we had never met before. I don't know. But we're BFFs. Now it's nice to meet another American girl. We're the same age and she's so inspiring. She's so talented and she's so true to who she is. She's a cool girl and I'm glad she's in the show this year. She rocked it," end quote. So MK, what are your thoughts? Do you think Carly is being truthful that they really didn't meet until then?
Yeah, maybe. I think you're right. There could have been rehearsals and stuff, but also... Mm-hmm. I don't know. They both seem like the kind of energy that would like latch onto someone and be like, "You're my best friend and I love you." Even though they've only known each other for 3 days. Yeah. They both have that like, I don't want to say cringy, but like, you know, they're a little, you know, millennial. I don't know.
Yeah. And they also kind of just been like texting too. So maybe there was like familiarity a little bit.
Yeah. DMs.
Yeah.
That also feels flirty though. Like I don't DM like girls and like get to know them over text before I meet them. But anyway, that might be a celebrity thing. That could be a celebrity thing.
True. Yeah, true. I guess when you're a celebrity, you can kind of just DM whoever you want and be like, "Hey, we should be friends."
Correct.
I would definitely do that.
Oh, I would too. I would pull that string all the time.
Yeah.
So a couple months later in 2014 was where their relationship, oh no. No.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's where their friendship...
Lock it down.
Friendship really hit the public eye. In March, they went on a road trip to Big Sur, California, and Carly posted two pictures on Instagram from the trip. She posts one where it's in her writing in the sand. It's a big heart, and inside the heart, it says, "Carly hearts Taylor." And then the second one is a photo of her and Taylor in front of a seal. Fun fact about the Carly hearts Taylor one, she misspelled Taylor. She forgot the O.
Taylor. And I've never seen anyone mention that ever. But whenever I was writing this episode, I was looking at that picture. I was like, this isn't spelt right.
And she left all
no
the
other
vowels.
No one has ever brought it up. Yeah, no one has ever brought it up. I'm sure it's in cursive, so it's really easy to skip a letter that way. But I just thought that was really funny that no one's never really talked about that.
Yeah. Hard-hitting journalism, Cressy. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
After this trip, there are a few pap walks, and then we have the Met Gala in May. This is the only time in this episode where the Met Gala is mentioned without any trauma. Carly posted a picture of them getting ready together and she captions it hashtag pre-Met Gala glam party with at Taylor Swift. They're also spotted that same month running errands in Soho, having lunch in Tribeca, typical Taylor papwalk stuff. And then they're seen dancing at an Ingrid Michaelson concert on stage with a big group of people. The song that's playing at the time is called Afterlife. Then that fall, Taylor was on the cover of Rolling Stone. It's the cover where she's on the beach walking in the white tank top. And
so sexy.
That's a good one. That's
the one.
That's a dub for the Gaylors. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's giving boyfriend Taylor energy.
Yeah. I was like, I have to buy this immediately. I think I still own it somewhere.
Yeah.
It's hot.
She's giving a tour of her New York apartment and she points to a guest room. And the article says... Swift leads the way to one of her four guest bedrooms. This is where Carly usually stays, she says, meaning supermodel Carly Kloss, a new BFF whom she met 9 months ago at the Victoria's Secret fashion show. There's a basket of Carly's favorite Whole Foods treats next to the bed and multiple photos of her on the walls. So this is less than a year after they met, and Carly has her own bedroom at her house.
Even the author of this article is like, less than 9 months ago. He's like,
they want to mention that.
Why does she have pictures of herself up here?
Yeah.
Do you have snacks?
But like, honestly, if we're talking about like, I mean, they can't be dating at this point. Because why would she have her own room? So like.
True. Yeah. That is an L for the Gaylors. That is an L for them.
That's an L for the Gaylors. Like, that's weird if you're dating or whatever, but maybe they're just getting really close.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But also, okay, on the opposite vein, I don't think it's weird to become that close to someone in 9 months. I think I have. I mean, I don't have enough money to have guest bedrooms for people, but like they would definitely be allowed to stay at my house.
Yeah, like on a couch or a blow up mattress.
Yeah.
But like to have, I'm assuming, professionally printed photos that have been framed. That's a little odd. No?
No, that's weird. It's a little odd. Any tax bracket.
It's a little odd. So now we are getting into my favorite part of this timeline, the 1989 era. But before we do that, let's take a quick break to hear a word from some of our sponsors. And we're back, and we are in October 2014. 1989 was released, and we are about to reach peak Carly and Taylor, because a lot's about to happen. Some confirmed, some more gossipy. So let's start with the facts in order, and then we'll backtrack a little bit with the gossipy stuff. So that month, Carly and Taylor went to a Knicks game together. They drank some beer. You guys have probably seen the photos. They're very popular pat photos of Taylor because she's actually drinking a beer. But what's hilarious about these photos that I feel like people have kind of forgotten is that Ben Stiller was sitting next to them, and he's just been cropped out of all of the photos.
I don't think I even knew that.
Like, the incredibly famous Ben Stiller of, like, his famous family. Like, he's, like, top, like, above A-list. Like, he's so famous. And they just cropped him out. That's how serious people were obsessed. Seriously obsessed people were with Carly and Taylor. And them drinking beer, of course. They also celebrated Taylor's 25th birthday that December. And this is a pretty famous birthday, too. You might have seen these photos, like Beyonce, Jay-Z, Justin Timberlake. All these superstars were there. And after her birthday, she tweeted, "As my 25th birthday present for the media, I'd like for you to stop accusing all of my friends of dating me. Hashtag thirsty." Then, shortly after this, the end of the month, they walked the runway together, hand in hand, at the Victoria's Secret fashion show. This is when Taylor's got the short bob. She's one of her looks, she's in a pink robe. And then the next look, she's got like this like long sleeve black lace bodysuit with like a high-waisted black underwear and black bra underneath it. Good looks. Great looks all around. Very encompassing of that era. I love these looks. But yeah, they're walking hand in hand. So those are all the facts. Now let's back it up just a little bit to get into the gossipy stuff that happened and just discuss this as a whole. Are you ready to talk about the 1975 MK?
No. They always become the messiest parts of our episode, and Maddie's not even involved in this one, but here we go.
No. He's actually an innocent bystander for once in his life.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. That December, Taylor and Carly went to the 1975 concert together. And a fan tweeted a photo of them together. It looks like the fan was on the floor level and they're taking it above, like maybe Carly and Taylor on a balcony somewhere. And can you help me describe these, MK?
Okay. Carly's arm is around Taylor. Taylor is holding her hand at the shoulder. And they are leaning in, hands covering faces weirdly close. And then there's somewhere Taylor's just kind of like wrapped in Carly's arms like a headlock. And Carly's like whispering and Taylor's has her arm around Carly's waist. It's cozier than I get with any of my friends, even when I've had many, many, many drinks. And that's all I'm going to say.
This was a dub for the Gaylors. Let's just call it what it is. They are very intimate. MK and I have been to many concerts together, and we've never stood like this. We've even been to a 1975 concert together. We didn't act like this. And we've been friends for over a decade. They've known each other for a year.
No. I don't mean to.
I got so serious
like
that. about that. that I pulled out my Minnie Mouse voice. I'm sorry, everyone, but y'all, this was weird. Like, this was weird. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. It was weird. And there's videos where people speculate that they are kissing, where their faces get, it's weird. But even if they're not kissing, like, even if that is fake or...
Yeah, like, let's
take
let's
that
act
out
like
of
the
it.
Kissing stuff is fake. This is weird.
This is still weird.
Isn't it anyway. So funny that we've, like, literally been to a 1975 concert together so we can actually be like, yeah, that's weird. I've been in that exact same situation.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that.
With my best
it's
friend.
Fine.
Yeah. So after these photos circulated, Taylor's rep called the story crap. More specifically, they told US Weekly, "It's sad that on the day it's announced Taylor has 3 Grammy nominations for Shake It Off, I have to shake off this crap." It is important to note that US Weekly does not name this person a source. They name them as a representative. So this was true, because you can't just call anyone a rep. This
I
isn't
have
just
to
a friend
shake
of a friend,
off
a source.
This crap.
That sounds like Tree, doesn't it, too?
Get him.
Yeah. Got him, girl. Tree pained. So.
Okay.
So that was a response to these photos. Let's just call it a response.
She said something.
Now that we've wrapped up the facts and the gossipness of this year so far, do we have any thoughts we want to touch back on before we move forward? Because things are about to pick up.
I will.
Just want to check in.
I will say, another dub for the Gaylers. At the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show, Taylor does a interview backstage, and she's looking around, and she talks about all the beautiful women in their robes and underwear and says, it's like an actual fantasy. And then, like, literally looks like she, deer in headlights, was like, why did I just say that? So that's all I can remember from this. But it is interesting too that, like, their friendship alone made Karlie Kloss the sole focus, like the it girl of that fashion show. And
yes,
yeah, I don't know if she would have been without this friendship. So very interesting vibes.
No.
All around.
And it's interesting again to, like, look back at photos and clips from this fashion show and seeing them two at the front. And, like, seeing the models all behind them just kind of, like, looking at them, like, what the hell? Like, I'm just as good as Karlie. Like, why is she up there, you know?
Yeah, because she
I would be
has a
so
friend.
Jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because she's friends with Taylor. Okay, well, I have a better walk. You know, like, my jealousy would be a problem if I was one of the other angels.
Yeah.
Not that I would ever be an angel, but you know what I mean.
Cressy, don't sell yourself short. You are also 6 feet tall.
True. True. Okay, let's jump ahead.
Okay.
Bring us back, MK.
All right, we're going to February 2015. When Taylor and Karlie shared the cover of Vogue together. Do we all remember
another
this?
Dub for the Gaylers. Another dub for the Gaylers. Let's okay. just call it what it is.
Okay, maybe not. They're like best friends. They do the video, the best friend. So friendly.
Yeah?
It's so friendly. No?
Yeah, do you want to describe that video, MK?
Okay, so the video is basically them fawning over each other for 4.5 minutes straight. The questions seemed pretty normal. It was like, oh, what emoji would you be? And they both just like, they were like, you're sunshine. You're a princess. You're so
you're
beautiful.
Princess.
You have blonde hair and you're beautiful and you're a princess with the crown. That's so you. And then Taylor's like, you're sunshine personified and I love you. And then they were like, can you guys just like talk about each other for 2 minutes straight or something? It was a really weird prompt. So they're talking yeah. over each other. You can really only hear bits and pieces unless you just like re-listen a million times to hear each of them. But it was intense the way that they decided to speak of each other. Taylor
off the cuff.
Taylor Swift cannot stop complimenting Karlie Kloss and also apparently her abs. It's a dub.
Yeah. It is a dub.
Article, also a dub.
And the photos from the article. Dub.
Oh, the photos? I don't
think...
Where
they're in like the... They're like sharing a trailer.
There have never been photos of two women that look like that to like
ever.
Looking at that, like not look like that, like their appearances, but look like that, like the vibes and also the way they're looking at each other and like posing. It was so like spousal looking.
The set designer, I do think, I don't know if it's called a set designer. I apologize if it's not. You guys know what I'm talking about. Whoever is in charge of getting the props photography.
Yeah.
They might have set them up a little bit because all of like the bed and the trailer where Carly's like reading in it, the props were interesting. And I know they didn't have control over that. So part of me does wonder if they were like set up a little bit to make it.
It was giving domestic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was styled very interestingly.
But they were leaning into it. I don't know.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. So what do you think about the article?
If I were Carly Kloss, I would have been pissed about the article because she has like three lines in it and it's supposed to be about their friendship, about it's a duo cover and the article is mostly about Taylor. So I would be pissed. I'll say it.
Okay.
What about you? What do you think?
I see what you mean. I do feel like they gave Taylor an opportunity to talk about Carly a lot,
yeah.
But that's still not the point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, again, Taylor, like, very complimentative of Carly. Not that she wouldn't be. Why would she go in the article and be like, yeah, she's fine. But
yeah.
Yeah, weird vibes. Weird vibes.
It was a dub. So let's continue this 1989 era. Hop right back on in. So during this time, we got the Bad Blood music video, which featured Carly. Now, MK, I think we should have a full episode about the Bad Blood music video because that was crazy.
I would actually love that. It was such a statement on the squad era. Yeah.
And the worst way, though.
Oh, yeah, because she chose exactly like what they were criticizing her for.
And I don't know if you guys have watched it recently. None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. Ellie Goulding has like a bazooka in a basement. Where is that going to go, Ellie?
Isn't
Where's
Zendaya that going? In You're... it?
Zendaya's in it.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
It's. I think we've got to revisit the Bad Blood music video and talk about it.
I would be down.
Because it's crazy.
I would be down.
Okay, continuing. She's on tour and at her London stop, she brought out Carly, Martha Hunt, Gigi Hadid, Kendall Jenner, Serena Williams, and Cara Delevingne. Now, this was weird because Taylor has surprise guests. That's true. But they don't even sing.
No, they
what
just...
What are they doing here?
They did their job. They strutted down a runway. Except Serena Williams.
That was weird. That was weird.
It was weird. And it was odd.
That was really weird.
Yeah.
They were just like walking around. Time and place. So later at her MetLife Stadium performance, Taylor gives a speech about how moving to New York changed her life. You know, we got the welcome to New York and the vibes of the whole tour, very New York themed. So it makes sense that she's saying this. And she goes on and she says, it doesn't have to do with geography. It has to do with the people I met. So if that's you, pat yourself on the back. I love you so much. And Carly was there and the crowd. And then in August 2015, they went to the VMAs together. Big group of friends, squad VMAs. Taylor is wearing her houndstooth two-piece with the intense eyeliner. Gigi Hadid legitimately looks orange. This is probably her worst look ever.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
It's rough. Carly looks like she's wearing a scoop neck t-shirt dress from Target. A lot of choices were made and none of them were good. I don't know how the whole squad came together and collectively failed that hard. You would think like a bunch of hot people next to each other would just increase their hotness. No one looks good.
And
no one looks good.
The one on the far right, Adriana? Is that her name? No.
That is...
All the angels are the same person to me.
Isn't it Lily Aldridge?
Yes, that feels correct.
Yeah, she looks fine, actually.
She looks good. It looks like she didn't do her hair.
Yeah, it's not a negative slay.
Yeah, it's not like intentionally wavy. It looks like she woke up from a nap and went to the VMAs.
No one looks good.
No.
And no one includes Taylor. I'm just going to say it. And that wraps up 2015. Taylor's on tour for 1989. She's living her best life. I mean, this was a huge era for her. So let's see how that continues in 2016. Is she still living her best life in 2016, MK?
Okay, 2016. I hope everyone's sitting down because we start 2016 in February when Kanye releases his song Famous, which contains the lyric, "I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why I made that bitch famous." And then he later releases the music video for it, which contains a naked wax model of Taylor in bed with him. Ew. Also in bed with her is Bill Cosby, Caitlyn Jenner, Amber Rose, Ray J, Kim Kardashian, Chris Brown, Rihanna, Donald Trump, Anna Wintour, and George W. Bush, all naked, which is like nightmare orgy rotation.
I feel like this could not have happened today.
No, I think he would do that today, actually.
For sure, for sure. But I just don't remember there being any backlash about this, you know?
Because like, with this Kanye, this was weird. They're like, oh, it's art. He's an artist. Like, he's shock factor, like, blah, blah, blah. You know how people treat him.
Yeah.
Anyway, just keep that information in your back pocket because it will be back.
Yeah.
Now let's jump to April, which is when they go to Coachella together. Taylor and Carly, not Taylor and Kanye. Just no. In case you're wondering. You might not remember this because something else happened that completely overshadowed it. But it was, in fact, dear listener, Bleachella, my favorite era of all time. Wow.
I forgot Carly was there. I forgot Carly. Like, that's how big Bleachella was to me. I forgot everyone she was with. Like, it was just Bleachella.
Iconic. The best era.
Yeah.
So chaotic.
Yeah.
And everyone knows what comes during Bleachella, infamous 2015 Met Gala. And apparently at this Met Gala, Carly allegedly took photos of Tom Hiddleston and Taylor Swift dancing together and shared them. And this was while Taylor was still dating Calvin. Eek.
Messy.
Documenting the getaway car. Ah.
She was on Snapchat just posting stories of these two together. Like, your girly has a boyfriend.
I know.
What are you doing?
But maybe she was drunk. And maybe she, like, hated Calvin because Taylor talks shit about him all the time. And he's so terrible to her. Yeah. And she was like, fuck this guy, and like post it like that. Like, maybe not out of spite for Taylor, but out of spite for Calvin. But when you're famous, you have to think a little harder about things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, just like a little bit.
The fact that she's posting that on Snapchat stories is so 2014. Like, could you imagine?
Now, I don't know if she put it on her stories, but the photos look like Snapchats. Like, they're like that grainy look to it, the vertical. Like, it looks like it was taken in 2016.
And it like skips the like every 10 seconds or whatever, probably, like things like that. It's weird.
It looks like.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah.
So sometime after the Met Gala, Taylor and Calvin break up, shocker, and Taylor gets with Tom. So let's jump to July, where things get even messier. Taylor hosts another 4th of July party, and this is the one where Tom has the I Heart TS shirt, and Carly is there, of course.
Yeah, she's there too.
Yeah. Also overshadowed by the t-shirt.
Yeah. True.
Then that same July, something happened that many Gaylers and Kaylers point to as evidence of a relationship between them. This is a bit of a dub for them. Calvin.
This was weird. I'm excited to talk about this.
I know.
I'm excited.
This is a weird, nuanced thing. Okay.
Yeah. So it's weird.
Calvin Harris goes on a Twitter rampage, tweeting the following tweets. "Last year, I grew a big old beard in order to be taken seriously by the Grammys as a producer. It worked to an extent. My Producer of the Year nomination came through, and I was happy the beard was performing as well as I had hoped. But unfortunately, this weekend, I learned that even a new beard has its limitations. On Sunday, I lost out to the incredible Greg Kurstin. A big old beard can only take you so far. An important lesson learned that I am happy to pass forward to all of you good people. Now my beard is gone, the experiment completed, and I can move forward 2018. God bless and thank you for your support." 3 exclamation points.
There is nothing messier than a blonde man who has just been dumped. This was messy as hell.
He deleted them shortly after, by the way. But yeah, everyone saw it, obviously.
Yeah, talk your shit, girl. I was pissed.
I'm so confused because, okay, obviously, if you're unaware, the term beard refers to a gay person having a fake significant other that masks their gayness. It's like,
yeah,
it's the fake person.
They're faking a heterosexual relationship.
Yeah, yeah, correct. So that's the beard is the fake significant other. So I guess Calvin is implying that he was Taylor Swift's beard is what
this is what I wanted is to talk about. Because it doesn't make sense for him to be like, I grew a beard. Because then doesn't that imply that he's the gay one?
No, I think that means like, I don't know.
Like, I had a beard? Like, oh, so Taylor was faking it for you so that you would appear heterosexual? Like, I don't understand the wording of it.
No, I think like, I don't know. Like, I grew a beard as in like, I have a beard, I am a beard. But I see what you mean. I do see what you mean. Like, he gained a beard. But either way, sketchy. And so it's like, okay, one, what does he mean? If he does mean that, is it implying that he was Taylor's beard? Or is he just saying this to talk some shit, get some stuff riled up, and make it seem like Taylor's gay? But then that's a really, really weird way to get revenge on someone, no? Like, random.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's completely bizarre. Everything about this is bizarre. None of this makes sense. He saw the pictures of IHRTS and Tom, and he was like, well, hold on, I got some shit to talk. Let me imply or potentially out my ex-girlfriend.
It's so weird.
What the hell was... What was that, Calvin? What was that? Part of me does feel like he's just such a hater that he was like, everyone knew about the Kayla rumors during their friendship. Like, this isn't something that happened like 5 years later. Like, it was big when they were friends. Part of me was like, I'm just going to stir the pot a little bit. Let me just add to the fire. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't think too hard on it. Let's move on.
No.
It makes me confused.
I'm befuddled. Let's go on to what else was happening this month. Oh, God. Kim Kardashian also released a Snapchat video that made it look... I mean, do I really have to get into this? I don't want to. I'm going to go through this so quickly. I'm hoping everyone listening remembers Snakegate. Kim Kardashian posted a Snapchat video that made it look like Taylor agreed to have that Kanye West lyric that MK read earlier in his song. As a reminder, they used to be married. It's clearly edited, and we have the full-length video out now proving that. But back in the day, everyone believed Kim instead of Taylor, like pretty much everyone. Mm-hmm. And then Taylor made a pretty bad move. Pretty bad move. She posted a pretty infamous statement, Notes app statement, saying that she would like to be excluded from this narrative. I would very much like to be excluded from this narrative, one that I have never asked to be a part of since 2009. That was quickly memeified everywhere. This then, of course, led to hashtag Taylor Swift is over party trending, people commenting a ton of snakes on her post. It was a tough time. And then, a few weeks after this, Carly was asked in an interview if Kim was a good person. And Carly replied, this is a direct quote from the interview. Ha, you know, she stuttered. I think she's been a lovely person to me in the past. Look, I really don't know her that well, end quote. Yikes. Yikes. Why are you?
2015 Carly would not have said that.
Why is she dick writing for Kim Kardashian, who just like ruined her best friend's life? What was that about? So then Carly tweeted after this, because of course she immediately got backlash for not being like, oh yeah, she's that bitch that fucked over my best friend. like any best friend would. MK, I would publicly go to the media and be so misogynistic for you. I would be using slurs people have forgotten about.
Hell yeah.
If Kim Kardashian came for you, I'd be like, yeah, let me tell you about this bitch Kim Kardashian.
Slut.
I would do it.
Thank you.
So after this interview and the backlash, Carly tweeted, I will not allow the media to misconstrue my words. Taylor has always had my back and I will always have hers. End quote. That's interesting because she literally stuttered and said Kim was a lovely person. Okay. Sounds like she's trying to play both sides. So she comes out on top. Mm-hmm. So things quiet down because Taylor literally went into hiding after this because she was canceled. But we do get a few small sightings. So in October, they're seen leaving the Bowery Ballroom with Serena Williams and Dakota Johnson. That is another dub for the Gaylers. They also went to Drake's birthday party. And in November, Carly and Taylor went to Lorde's birthday party. And that's it. We're done.
That's the end.
We're not done with the timeline, but that's like the end of their public friendship. Let's take a quick break to hear a word from some of our sponsors.
The end of their public friendship. But now we enter the rap era, and I'm very excited to talk about it. We're in 2017. Let's start in April. Carly has an interview with the Love magazine, and people are starting to speculate that they aren't friends anymore because they haven't been seen together. She's asked something.
Yeah, we were getting like weekly photos of them, and it's now been months.
Yeah. I mean, well, Taylor was in hiding, but like, it's still weird.
Yeah.
She's asked something along the lines of, are you a fan of Taylor? Which is a weird thing to ask considering they used to be best friends, but okay. Carly responds, huh, yes, I'm a big fan of Tay Tay, but I love her for who she is and what a wonderful friend she is. So I'm a fan and a friend.
I love her for who she is. It's so brave of you to wear that lipstick shade. Like, that's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
I do have a fun fact about this quote that I want to bring to everyone's attention. This interview has been scrubbed from the internet.
No.
Fully scrubbed. Like, it's, like, gone. And the only reason it is archived is from the Good for a Weekend podcast. Because we have the transcripts on our website of, it was either me or Allie reading that quote forever ago. I linked all of the sources. This has been scrubbed from the internet.
That's so
interesting.
Isn't
that crazy?
Like, in the last 4 years, I guess, probably 3 years?
Yeah. It's gone. I've like searched it with the quotation marks. Like I did all the things. I went to like the archives of the magazine. It's all gone.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, jumping to August, we are now in the beginning of my favorite era, obviously. Everything goes silent from Taylor. We haven't seen her in a long time, but everything is wiped from her socials. We don't know what's going on. Everyone's freaking out. And then slowly, post by post, we get little squares as she does. But we see that in the squares, you see the snake and everyone freaked out. That was iconic.
Oh,
like,
it was so
realizing
iconic.
That she was going to like go for the snake thing. Oh my God, I'll never forget.
That was huge. And also, no one had done the wipe their socials before an era thing before. That had never been done before.
No.
And now the girlies do that all the time. Justin Timberlake just did that.
Oh my God. So obviously she drops Look What You Made Me Do. And then at the VMAs, they premiered the Look What You Made Me Do music video. Taylor is wearing the shirt.
And the music video.
In the music video. Taylor is wearing the Junior Jewels shirt, but with all her current friends' signatures instead of the old ones. So it includes Abigail, Selena Gomez, Ed Sheeran, Ryan Reynolds, and Blake Lively, to name a few. But a lot of people quickly noticed that Carly's name was not on the shirt. Mm-mm. Ooh. So following this, a source told Us Weekly that Taylor and Carly are still very much good friends. Taylor respects Carly so much for doing her own thing and being smart. Taylor has so much admiration for her, especially for educating girls with coding. Wow. That is like a very distant statement. And also kind of backhanded.
Taylor has... Yeah. Yeah.
For being smart and doing her own thing. You're so brave.
Yeah.
This is interesting because Us Weekly calls this person a source and an insider, but not a representative. So this is likely coming from Carly's camp. Wait.
I made a joke.
This is how I get it. It's hard to read. Likely coming from Carly's looking camp right in the eye.
I wrote that and I'm really proud of it.
That's like one of those tech docs that's like the before and after, and you have to like, you know, mm-hmm. That's tough. That could be a meal of fortune. So then the whole album comes out and people speculate that This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things is about Carly and a couple other songs, which we'll get into later. You might have noticed that Carly hasn't shown any public support for Taylor's Reputation album, which is a stark contrast to the massive support that she showed her for 1989. She went to several concerts, she tweeted, she Instagrammed, she gave it a ton of attention, but for Reputation, it was radio silence. Cressy, do you want us to take us through the rest of 2017?
Let's do it, because something very funny is about to happen. Very, very, very funny. In 2017, November specifically, Taylor had written the song Better Man for Sugarland, and it was nominated for the CMAs. Shockingly, Carly Kloss was there to present Song of the Year for Better Man, but Taylor was not there. But Carly Kloss, a model with no relation to the country music scene or Nashville or anything at all, really, was there to present the award. Talk about it.
Who do you think pushed for that?
I kind of think Taylor set her up.
Oh my God.
I kind of think their publicists were like, oh, it would be so cute if Carly presented this award and she was there, and then that would kind of like squash any rumors, and then Taylor just like didn't go.
That would be insane. I could also see Carly's camp just being like, oh my gosh, like let's get her in there. Let's make it look like this. And Taylor was like, I'm not playing your games, and didn't go.
Yeah.
It
because
could go
Taylor wasn't doing stuff like that at this time. This was the rep era.
Yeah.
So it's very weird that Carly did that.
It could go either way, but definitely not a coincidence.
Yeah. So let's jump ahead. Just ponder on that one.
So now we're in January of 2018, a couple months after the release of Reputation, and Carly posts a video of her dribbling a basketball captioned, swish, swish, bish. Feels weird to say bish. But those are the lyrics to Katy Perry's diss track response to Bad Blood. It's called Swish, Swish. Really dumb song.
Yep.
So
yeah,
after...
we saw what you did, Carly. We saw that.
Yeah. And so after getting called out for that, she changed the caption to nothing but net, basketball, heart, love.
I like the heart, right? And love being spelt out.
Love, period.
That was weird.
Okay. Maybe this is a coincidence. Maybe. Probably not. Everyone knew what that song was about. And Carly and Katy were later seen the next month having dinner together. Probably discussing how insane that was.
Yep.
The same month, Jennifer Lawrence was asked in an interview if she could use spy powers for one thing, what would it be? For context, she was promoting Red Sparrow at the time, which was a spy movie. So that's why she was asked this. But she answered, quote, I'd like to know what's going on with Carly Kloss and Taylor Swift. That's the honest to God truth. Is anybody else curious? Is nobody else curious? It's what keeps me up at night. What happened? End quote.
She was so real for that.
I know.
She's one of us, for real.
I know.
Do you think she listens?
She had to have been the first to, like, voice this, because, okay.
Yeah, she's a woman of the people, for real.
No, if anything, she's a woman of the people.
Yeah.
Later that summer, Carly is interviewed by Porter Magazine and said, quote, I've built really amazing friendships, some that last, some that don't. A couple have become some of the most important relationships in my life, in particular, those I've been in the trenches with, such as Jordan Dunn, Joan Smalls, Tony Garn, and Lily Aldridge. We started as girls and we've grown up together, and I know if I need anything, I can call them up and they will be there for me, just like my friends from kindergarten. Noticeably, Taylor is not mentioned in this, and it's quite obvious that they are not friends anymore.
Yeah, because she would have absolutely name dropped Taylor and her list of friends.
Yeah.
That she was literally just listing.
If she, yeah, if they were still friends and she could, she would, to squash the beef. But then in August, Carly attends the Nashville Rep Tour one day after we did. Oh.
That was crazy. She was there one day after we were there.
One day after we did.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we really missed her just by a second.
Yeah. That would have been so hilarious if we were at that one.
Oh, my God. I would have died. But she posted a picture of them and said, "No one puts on a show like Taylor Swift. Hashtag Reputation Tour Nashville was out of this world. I am so proud of you." Interesting.
Okay.
That October, in Carly's 73 Questions with Vogue video, she was asked, "The world deserves to know, is everything cool with you and Taylor?" They're so ballsy. Oh. But she replied, "The world needs to know. Well, Jennifer Lawrence was interested. Jen, don't worry. Taylor and I are still really good friends." That is awkward. Also, I don't believe you.
Yeah. First of all, you're lying. And second of all,
yeah, it's been 8 months.
It's been 8 months. She was thinking about this before she fell asleep at night.
Ugh, so awkward. This was really on her mind.
I love to see J Law's response to that.
I know. She should have responded. That would have been so. She should have gone on live too. Yeah.
I know.
But then Carly goes on to get married to Josh. They have two ceremonies, and Taylor doesn't attend either one of them. But you know who does? Scooter Braun.
Yes, that's Scooter Braun. So here's where the story gets even more complicated and might explain some things. At the exact same time in this Lover era where Taylor is sharing posts about Scooter Braun buying her masters and asking for help from like the general public, fellow colleagues, Carly is posting pictures with her manager, Scooter Braun. And he factors majorly into what seems to be part of the downfall of their very weird friendship, whatever you want to call it. It was very weird. So Taylor got an outpouring of support from fellow celebrities like Kelly Clarkson, Cher, Sarah Bareilles, Martha Hunt, Selena Gomez, Halsey, Gigi Hadid, Lily Allen, Camila Cabello, and even American politicians, Elizabeth Warren and AOC, just to name a few. And while this was all happening, all of these people, these famous people making posts in support of Taylor, there was also some backlash from a minority group on the interwebs. And Carly was caught liking a quote tweet of Taylor's long essay about her masters being sold and being bought. The tweet was by Mark Dice, and he says, quote, "You sold your music and became filthy rich while doing so. It's not yours anymore. It's the record labels. If I sell my car to someone else, they won't let me drive it anymore. It's because it's how things work," end quote. Apparently, she unliked this afterwards after it was noticed, but people noticed. Likes are public. People saw it. People screenshotted. I obviously don't know if they faked it. Who knows? There's no way to verify that. But she seemed to have liked and unliked this tweet.
Awkward.
So it does seem that Scooter being her manager caused a very large rift.
Yes.
And then things get worse. Also around this time in 2019, Perez Hilton tweeted a video saying he had a source tell him what exactly went down with Taylor and Carly's friendship. Perez says, quote, "Taylor found out that Carly was telling things about her and her career to Scooter," end quote. You might be thinking, really? Perez Hilton? That's your source? Okay. Longtime friend of Taylor's, Ashley Avignon, liked the tweet about it. Liked the video. Again, this stuff is all public, and she didn't unlike it either. So to me, this confirms that's part of it. Like, that happened. If Taylor's friend is publicly like you know, Ashley knew people was going to see that. People were going to see that.
Yeah, no, that was insane.
So there's a little bit more to this story than Scooter Braun. Also around this time, reports started creeping up on the gossip sites. And according to Page Six, this was another factor in the downfall of their friendship. Apparently, Taylor was furious after Carly invited friends over for a party without asking for her permission. This was at her own apartment.
Rightly, like, rightfully so.
Yeah. But also, you gave her a bedroom. That's your roommate now, girly.
Okay, yes. Yes, I see what you mean, but she's Taylor Swift, and, like, inviting, like, people over is such an invasion of privacy for someone where her privacy and safety is so important.
Ah, for sure. For sure.
Okay. So what's happened since then? This past year, Carly attended the Nosebleeds of the Eras Tour in August of 2023. How uncomfortable that she bought her own ticket and showed up and it was a bad ticket. Worse than ours, I might add. But she's likely just feeding into the speculation for publicity at this point. I mean, like, why would she go?
I think the rumors of, like, the Taylor-ness is, like, the only thing that's keeping her career going, honestly.
Oh, 100%. Otherwise, yeah, she'd be irrelevant.
Yeah.
Additionally, when Taylor shared 1989 Taylor's version, she shared in the prologue, "If I only hung out with my female friends, people couldn't sensationalize or sexualize that, right? I would learn later on that people could and people would." So this is almost like when she tweeted, it's like the second chapter of when she tweeted, "For my 25th birthday, I want the media to stop accusing me of dating my friends or whatever." But then now she's like, even female ones. So with that, let's take a quick break, listen to a word from our sponsors.
So now let's get into the songs of it all before we wrap up this episode. There are songs that most people would be like, yeah, I can see the parallels between Taylor Swift and Carly Kloss. We're going to talk about those. And after we wrap that up, we are going to get into the songs that the Gaylor / Kaylors think could be about her. Let's start with, I think, the first one, "Look What You Made Me Do." The lyric, "You asked me for a place to sleep, locked me out and threw a feast." This is directly alluding to what page 6 says, how she threw a party without Taylor's consent. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And this is why we can't have nice things. She said, "I'm shaking my head and locking the gates." Pretty much same thing.
She's locking that apartment up.
Kicked out of the house.
"And I forgot that you existed." We get another roommate. reference. Free rent living in my mind. She was getting free rent.
Is she Carly? That did happen. Carly poor.
And then got out some popcorn as soon as my rep started going down, down, down. She was decorating for Kim Kardashian immediately afterwards. So that checks out.
Yes. This one I think is the most obvious, and it's time to go. Yeah. She says, "When the words of a sister come back in whispers that prove she was not, in fact, what she seemed, not a twin from your dreams, she's a crook who was caught." They were
the alliteration
twins.
Yeah. And like the crook caught Carly Kloss. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty brilliant, actually. And then, of course, "Right Where You Left Me," "Friends Break Up, Friends Get Married."
And "Glass Shattered on the White Cloth." She converted to Judaism where you step on the glass and the cloth at the wedding.
And they had two ceremonies that Taylor did not attend. So,
okay. So let's get into what Kaylors suspect to be romantic songs about Carly.
Yeah.
Okay. Which technically you could say "Right Where You Left Me" could also be in this
that
category.
Could be perceived romantically. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So "Dress," the first one that comes to my mind, obviously.
Yeah. I don't want you like a best friend.
Yeah. "Carve Your Name Into My Bed," but like, and that's just so, I can't. Yeah. Wow. I don't even want to say what I want to say.
That one is weird. No, talk your shit, girl. I weirdly agree with this one.
Yeah. It's weird.
I'm just going to say it. Like, obviously her and Joe Alwyn weren't best friends. Like, they, like that wasn't, you know, like I get that this is a dub for them. I will say it.
And it's like, I know that her and Joe were secretive, but like people knew they were dating. She didn't have to act like they weren't dating in public, which is what the song's basically about. Like, hands are shaking in anticipation. Like, you know, secret moments in a crowded room. People have no idea they were about never, me and you. Like, yes, we did.
They were never spotted in a crowded room, like, secretly. Like, we would have known, you know?
And people did know about them. Like, it wouldn't have been
a secret. Like, later. Like, much, much later. But, like, still. If they were in, a crowded bar, there would have been a ton of photos of them together. You know? Like...
Yeah.
And they also wouldn't have been, like, hiding it. Anyway, I will agree with you on that one. We also have Cornelia Street, I guess. I don't really get that one. I want you guys
Joe
to know
on this one.
I want you guys to know I was on the Gaylor subreddits, Twitters,
wow,
TikToks.
You're brave.
I went in deep. I'm not pulling these out of my ass. These are actual songs that people have listed as evidence.
I mean, okay, New York and like all that stuff, that's fine. I do think that people think Cornelia Street because they say the city screams your name and people are like, Joe Alwyn has nothing to do with New York City, but Karlie Kloss is all over New York City. But like, it's more about where they met, I think. And like, to her, the city screams his name because they met and fell in love there.
Yeah, Met Gala.
Whatever.
Yeah, very New York event.
So the next one, which maybe... Actually, my most obvious one is Cruel Summer.
Mm-hmm. I don't see this one, so I'm interested to hear your perspective.
Snuck in through the garden gate?
But what does the garden gate mean? Like, I saw that being used as a reference.
Have you not seen the photos?
It looks like a normal gate to me. Like, I don't get it.
It's, like, covered in greenery. And like, there's, like, a little garden right inside. And that's, like, not normal in New York.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And that's not, like, a saying, right?
You could argue it is, and she was going for an alliteration. I don't know.
I just find it interesting.
Mm-hmm. There's also Gold and Rush also, that people think.
Okay, wait. Also, The Shape of Your Body, it's new. Because she's a woman.
Because she's a girl.
She's a woman. And they were roommates.
And then also, Gold Rush is another one I saw a lot.
Okay, yeah.
I see this one as being a very Joe song, especially with the most recent reports we've seen. Like, I think this song is from Joe's perspective. Like, I call you out on your contrarian shit. There have been some like gossipy things talking about how like Taylor's friends didn't like how he would correct her at dinner parties and stuff.
Oof. I have always seen this as a Harry song.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've always seen this like from Joe's perspective about Taylor.
Interesting. That feels like a narcissistic song to write about yourself.
She was bored as hell. That's what else was she gonna do?
No, I see it. I've always seen it about Harry, but I don't know why. Just because I guess he's like it feels like the guy that she dated that she was like actually like mesmerized by and like kind of shook over.
Yeah.
But and his hair does fall into place like dominoes, and he did grow up very beautiful. But anyway, and everybody does want him. Whatever.
Yeah.
The next one is Don't Blame Me. This one's big because of the Ivy reference. On the trip to Big Sur, one of the Instagram posts had a photo of a handwritten note on a dashboard with a little daisy like kind of falling over it or whatever. Or did she draw the daisy or something? But that's why people think that this song is about Don't Blame Me is about Karlie, is because once was Poison Ivy, now I'm your daisy.
We should also add that Gaylors and Kaylors online frequently have a little daisy next to their username to like signify that they are one, in case you've seen that a lot and you're like, what does that mean? That's what that means.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you see a Taylor Swift fan account with a little daisy next to it, they're a Gaylor or a Kaylor. I don't know. I don't want to like label them as one or the other, but they're one of them.
I think, okay, now that I said it out loud, I think that the photo did have the daisy. And then in one of Taylor's like album, like notebook things, she like drew a daisy that was like slanted weird like that, like just like it was in the photo. So that was also a little bit of like evidence, quote unquote.
Then we have Dancing With Their Hands Tied.
Okay. I mean, sure.
Yeah.
I honestly, this is one of those songs that I could never imagine who it was about. Like, I don't really get it. Yeah. Like, did they work out or did they not work out? I'm confused.
Yeah.
The next one is You Are In Love. Also, I disagree with sure. this. Like, I don't see that. And this is definitely about Jack and Lena, but.
Yeah, and she wrote this years before she met Carly. Yeah,
that's weird.
Which we talked about in our 1989 Revisited episode. We give the chronological order of when she wrote the songs, if you guys want to listen to that. It's very fun.
There you go.
This one's weird. This Is What You Came For. A lot of people think that's about Carly.
I don't get that.
I don't either. And then to wrap it up, Maroon. Taylor sang this as a surprise song on Carly's birthday.
Bold. Bold choice on her part. I could see this, and I don't know if I can say why. Just vibes.
Okay. Okay. I have no opinion about the song being related to her at all.
I also kind of thought this was about Harry for some reason. I guess, I don't know. Just they seem so passionate, but that's just me.
Yeah.
And then like people think it's about Joe because of the cheap rosé. That's so
I think
mean.
It's about Harry because of the carnations.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, those are the songs that people point
to. Say?
Take it or leave it. Literally, who's to say except for Taylor Swift? So let's close this episode by just like wrapping up what we just talked about. Let's talk about the Kaler of it all. Let's talk. What do you think happened, MK?
I think it's as obvious as it seems. I think that it really is that Carly didn't come to her defense during Reputation. I think it could have been the Snapchats and the parties and the like all that thing, all those things coming together. I think they literally just stopped being friends and then it was blown out of proportion and then it got really awkward and then they started kind of making digs at each other publicly.
Swish, swish.
It just like blew up. I think, you know, like I think it just got dramatic and then it like blew out of proportion. I think, you know, sometimes it's not like some weird conspiracy. It's just like, it is what it is.
Now, do we think their relationship was more than friends? I don't know how to word that delicately.
Such a loaded question. Like, you literally are like, are you a Gaylor?
I feel like they just had a really weird fucking friendship that was like they like found another weird person and they're just weirding out together and they don't know how to act and they're wrapping each other around each other in public and making it look like they're kissing and they're just being weird. I just think they're capital W weird.
But that's
all.
Like not a crazy comparison because they did both shoot to fame and start working and hustling and you know, enter this like insane adult world at a very young age, like both early teens.
Yeah.
So it makes sense
their
what
social
you're saying.
Skills. Yeah. So I don't necessarily believe there was a romantic relationship. I just think they were weird. What about you?
Okay. Looking back, definitely weird. I will say sometimes when I like see these TikToks and I get down in these holes, we all know a I don't even know if I can say reformed. I was a Larry. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I'm a little bit like cuckoo and I kind of like conspiracy theories. And
yeah,
honestly, some of this stuff is a little too weird, but maybe it's because I just don't know people this weird. And also I like don't want to imagine Taylor is that weird. I would literally like,
I think she is that
weird. I would
weird.
Just rather her be gay.
I mean, yeah.
Or like at least bi. Okay. Also, like, why do we always just have to assume she's gay? Why can't she be bisexual?
I know.
It's fine.
I know. I hate that too. Because that's way more likely.
No, literally.
Like speculating on it is gross, but like, let's just be honest here. It's way more likely for a person to be bi than gay.
Yeah. Or not a person, but her and what we know about her and her life.
Yeah.
No, some of it was a little too weird for me. And I'm not saying that, like, yeah, I'm a full Kaler, but, like, sometimes I'm like, a few dubs for them. We did have a few dubs for them in the episode.
For sure.
So I don't know. I'm up in the air.
Okay. Do you think Reputation was about Carly?
Like in the mean way or in the gay way?
All of the above.
I don't think anything in Reputation was about Carly in the mean way. I really don't. I think that was really...
In the mean way?
No, I really think that was all about...
Look what you made me do?
I really think it was more about Kanye and Scooter and stuff.
Okay.
I do
not
think...
Not even the roommates allegories?
I think that... what's the song called? It's so irrelevant. I can't even... I forgot that you existed.
Yeah.
I do think that's about her, for sure. That one's pretty obvious to me. And, like, it's time to go. Or, yeah, it's time to go. Maybe right where you left me. Mm-hmm. Those seem, like, pretty obviously about her in a mean way. But mm-hmm. I don't know about Reputation.
No, in the gay way?
I'm going to take my previous statement. I be getting convinced sometimes.
Okay.
Some of them are just a little too, like, wacky to be quinkadinks. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Now, I do want to remind our listeners that never in the history of this entire podcast have we speculated on her sexuality. And if it sounds like we're doing that now, please know we're just being respectful. We're just two fans chatting. We are in no way attempting to out her. We are not writing a 5,000 word piece for the op-ed. We are just discussing the full timeline we just talked about with you guys. I really don't want anyone's feelings to get hurt, because I do know there's a fine line of how to talk about it appropriately. And a lot of people cross it. A lot of people do. So I want you guys to know that we take this very seriously. Like, we don't take this lightly. I mean, if you're a listener, you know that from our past episodes. But I do just want to remind you guys of our intentions. We're just recapping the timeline here.
Yeah, mostly facts. And anything I said about things that were a little sketch or a little weird, I'd say it to her face.
Yeah, girl, to every weird. Dub we said, that was weird. That was weird.
But it could just be her being a weird person.
It was W for win and weird.
Big dubs. Big weirds.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was our Kaler episode. And before we get into nightmares and daydreams, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and get back into our nightmares and daydreams. And welcome back to our nightmares and daydreams. I can't believe you're still listening. We're so happy you are, because this is probably the longest episode we've ever done.
I love that, though. I love the really long podcasts, so I'm glad we're joining the ranks.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did this for you, dear listener. MK, what is your nightmare this week?
Nightmares and daydreams. I tried really hard to think of a nightmare. Okay, I did.
That's okay. You can pass.
I really couldn't. I can spin a nightmare because I kind of have three daydreams.
Okay.
All right. So I'll say my nightmare is that Clay said no to AD at the altar on Love is Blind. Love is okay. Blind. Really into it. Runner up for daydream. But I'll say my nightmare is that Clay said no with the altar. Love isn't blind. And he's a bitch for that. And he acted like infidelity was hereditary and learned behavior. Like, learned behavior from watching other people cheat. And he's a piece of shit. Hmm. So. Anyway.
Okay.
If you know, you know.
Okay.
What's your nightmare?
I recently read a book that TikTok recommended to me. This is How You Lose the Time War. I did the audiobook. It was like 4 hours long. I was like, hell yeah, let's get into this. It sucked. I think people on TikTok just have really bad taste. It was not well done. I do not recommend it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It was only 4 hours long. It's fine.
Okay.
But just don't let TikTok fool you on that one. It was just, I've already forgotten most of what happened. That's how you know it wasn't that good. You know, like, it just did not stick with me. So, MK, you had three daydreams? Let's hear them.
Okay, well, now I'm down to two, because Love is Blind was my secret one.
Yeah.
My secret third Sneaky. Option.
Yeah.
Okay, runner-up is going to be Kacey Musgraves' new songs. She's dropping a new album in 9 days, and her two singles are really good, and they sound like Golden Hour Kacey, not her shitty last album Kacey. So I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
That one was not
her lyrics the best, are so. Like not they're not groundbreaking. I'm gonna say that. But then, like when you think back to old Casey stuff, they never were. Her production is insane. And she has a beautiful velvety voice.
Yeah, she does.
And she creates great guitar riffs. But her lyrics are not all there. But that's okay, because the songs still sound like sweet, sweet melodies in my ear. And I'm excited for Golden Hour round two.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Second Daydream, the big winner, because I can't stop listening to it. So I've talked about how I'm a fan of the Toast podcast. One of the co-hosts, Claudia Oshry, has a book that I've been listening to. I almost made a joke about how I don't read when you were talking about your nightmare, but I listen to books sometimes.
That counts.
Yeah, I love this book. It's her like biography. It's called Girl With No Job, The Beautiful and Messy Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster, something along those lines. But yeah, it's called Girl With No Job, which is her Instagram handle. It's really good. And I like hearing about her life and learning more about her and her cancellation and her very conservative Republican mom. Just good, interesting views from her on things that I would have wanted her opinion on. So if you know anything about her, it's a good book.
Interesting.
Yeah. And your daydream?
My daydream is Madame Web. Never have I had so much fucking fun in a movie theater. It, you guys, it is just as bad as everyone says. It is the most ridiculous movie I have ever seen in my, it is the worst movie I've ever spent money on, but in the best way possible. Go with one of your friends on a weekday at like 4 o'clock. It is a time. Like 90% of the movie is ADR, which is when they record dialogue after the scene was shot. So like their mouths aren't even matching the words that they're saying. None of it makes sense. There are definitely at least two plots that were taken out. Why are you making that face?
Why did they do that?
It's a bad movie. I don't know.
I don't know anything about this movie. Like I knew it was going to be bad. So when you said you loved it, I was like confused, and then it made sense. But I'm like really confused about the premise and what's going on here.
Well, her web connects us all.
Right. Right.
And Dakota Johnson needed a beach house or something. I don't know. She showed up and she said the words. That's how I can describe her acting. It was, there were times I went with my friend Ben where we laughed out loud at her acting. It was so bad. It was so silly, so fun. Sydney Sweeney was excellent. She was great. But the whole thing is just so bizarre and so silly. Like, if you like just silly, mindless things with your friends, you should go see this on a random weekday because it is ridiculous and, like, the best way. Like, go into it knowing it's going to be awful. It's set in 2003, famously 2 years after 9/11, and it's in New York. She's wanted by the police. She just flies to Peru. She flies to and from Peru. We're like, they just invented TSA. How'd she do that? It's just, and then there's like one part where they show Beyonce Crazy in Love. Like, just to remind you, like, hey, it's 2003 in case you forgot.
Right.
9/11 just happened. It is crazy. A lot of weird Spider-Man references. It's, none of it makes sense.
Is this a Marvel movie?
Makes sense. No, but they want you to think it is.
Right. Okay, that
they're tricking you.
Yeah,
they want you to think this is a part of the Spider-Man multiverse, but it's not. So they like playfully allude to it. They're like, oh, Ben just had a son, they're gonna name him Peter. I don't remember if Ben was the name, but whatever Peter Parker's dad's name was, like shit like that. It's like, yeah, I see what you're trying to do here. And then something really funny happened afterwards. Can I tell you guys this story really quick?
Sure.
Okay. This is just so Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Richard Lewis just died, so I'm telling this story as a memoriam for him to honor his death. So I went to see Madame Web with my friend Ben, who is gay. That is important to the story. I'm not just being like, he's gay. I have a gay friend, in case you guys were wondering. No, it's important to the plot. And after we go to the movies, we always walk to this nearby Mexican restaurant. afterwards so we can chat about them. We're big movie heads. So we're crossing a sidewalk. There's a walk sign, like the little white walking guy. So you can go. We're like in a crowd of people. We're all crossing. It's a normal day. One sidewalk to another sidewalk. It's a normal crosswalk. And out of nowhere, this giant white Audi swoops in, starts honking the horn, honk, 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 and it almost hits me. And I put my hands out. And I'm like instinctively, because I'm like, whoa. And Ben, also instinctively, without even thinking, shouted, "You fucking F-slur." He said the word, not F-slur. And then another car pulled up and said, "That wasn't very nice." And I was like, "That wasn't very nice. He almost hit me." And then we kept walking and they were like, "Wait, I think they think Ben was just shouting homophobic slurs in Midtown Atlanta."
Well, he was.
And then he was like, should I skip? Like, how do I let everyone at this red light know that I am gay and I'm allowed to say that word and I've reclaimed it? And also, it just came out of me. I didn't mean to. Because I almost got hit by the car.
Yeah.
Isn't that so funny?
That actually is really funny.
And then we sat down for dinner and we were like, great, now there's going to be a next door post about him. That's like, watch out, be on the lookout for this. Because he's like a big, tall guy. Like, you might think he's like a big straight man if you don't know him. Mm-hmm. Like, be on the lookout, Bolo, for this homophobic man
tall,
yelling
homophobic
slurs
couple.
in our city, in Midtown. For those of you who don't know, Midtown is gay, capital G, the gay part of Atlanta. So that makes it even worse. But oh, fortunately, no one posted about it. We still don't know if that woman was talking about the person who almost hit me or if they were talking about Ben. We don't know. But I can't stop thinking about it.
I would imagine it was the F slur. But that's really funny.
Don't tell Ben because he's so worried about that.
It'll be all right, I'm sure. Oh, well, here we are at the end.
So fitting of me to share a story about homophobia at the end of a Kaler episode.
It's really on brand.
So anyway, if you liked this episode or you disliked it, join the Discord. Tell us your thoughts. What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think about their friendship? We would actually love to hear your thoughts.
I would love to hear all your thoughts, positive or negative. Where I don't want to hear your negative thoughts is in the reviews, actually. Could you just keep those positive? Thanks. 5 stars.
Yeah. Someone left us a 3-star review recently.
I don't want to talk about it. It makes me weird. I feel weird.
They may or may not be a colleague of MK's. Who knows?
I don't. It's just like a weird coincidence. Like, if you are this person and you really want to do that in your future, maybe don't say that shit to me, okay?
Yeah. You just got blacklisted.
Let
bitch.
You know. Even anyway, though I have no idea who they are.
We would love your review. No, don't say that. We can track them down.
No.
We'll find the IP. I don't know how
I've
any of that works.
I already found you. Ooh.
Ooh, got him.
Watch out.
Also, as a reminder, our Swifty Confessions episode will be coming out April 11th. We are accepting submissions until April 1st. You can submit those to gfaweekend@gmail.com. Please include what you want us to call you, a name or a nickname, as well as your preferred pronouns, so that we can discuss your submission appropriately.